Appreciate so much the good preaching that we've heard this afternoon, and y'all pray for me, and hopefully we can tie these thoughts that we have with that's already gone before. Jesus says, "You're the light of the world." And he's speaking to the redeemed, pardoned, chosen children, born again, says, "You're the light of the world." He also says in Sermon on the Mount that you're salt and light. And we made reference to this morning, that wherever light shines, darkness flees. And that's what Brother Victor was saying, you know, in that dark night of driving that tractor trailer load of honeybees and being scared to death anyway from all of that, then what's behind you, you don't want them to catch up with you. You want to keep it. But then you see that first light. You know it's close because he's already looked at his watch. You know that light's coming soon. But soon as that first light, guess what happens to that darkness? It flees. It's gone. But Jesus says, "You're salt and light. You're the light of the world." Paul told Titus, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." That hope of eternal life. And also we see that in Hebrews chapter 11, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That hope of eternal life that we have, you know, eternal life is something I've been thinking about for weeks and trying to speak on it there at Boiling Springs. And I've even thought about it even more after turning 70 years old, that, you know, I'm 70 years and 10. And hopefully by reason of strength, I'll make it to 70 years. And as one preacher said, hopefully be on borrowed time after that. So, but that hope of eternal life, you know, we love to hear about eternal life. But if just somebody just says to you, to give a definition, what would you say if somebody says, "Give me your one-line definition what eternal life is"? Think about that. Now, most of the time we think about it is that, and I think about it a lot more now since I'm getting older, that when I breathe out my last breath, I'll be with the Lord throughout eternity. That eternal life which was promised before the world began. I don't think God ever, you know, because this is beyond imagination, but I've thought about this, that I think God has always loved his people. You know, it's kind of hard. Did he start loving us, or did he always love us? But, but maybe while we're sitting around in eternal life in heaven, we can ask some questions. I think that'd be good. Lord, explain some things to us. But we see that, you know, the question's been asked. We all understand that eternal life, where it came from God. It came to us before the foundation of the world. We were secured in Christ before the foundation of the world. We wasn't redeemed until Jesus died on the cross. But we were secure in him before the world began. But then when he redeemed us from our sins, and he said it was finished, redemption was accomplished. It was completed. It wasn't a partial redemption. It wasn't a partial pardon. It was a complete pardon. But we see through all the verses that's just been on our mind, and one that we love with all of our heart, that's been explained away through explaining away, is John 3:16. For God so loved the world, and people, and I know we explain that, but see, it's been explained away through that. But if we just took that one verse and explained it, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He never offered him. It was a gift, a free and sovereign gift, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth. And see, that's been explained away, where people say, whosoever will believe. But that being in the present tense, it said, whosoever is believing shall not perish, but have already in possession of eternal life. See, that's the thing about it. If we would just take God's word at his word, as Brother Victor's already said, let's just take his word at his word, then we don't have to explain it away. But it's been explained away. Then Paul told the church at Rome, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But then Paul told the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. It's unspeakable. I like to talk about it. But it's unspeakable. Eternal life. And you know, then the other one, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Then in Titus he says, not of works of righteousness which we have done. Eternal life is a gift. It was never offered to us. It was always a gift, a free and sovereign gift. But I still want to think about that, of what is eternal life. And as we already said, most of us, we always think about, well, when we die, we're going to be in heaven. And all of our loved ones that's gone on before us, we think about what they're enjoying in eternity. You know, it's a, you know, in paradise, as Jesus says. And we can't fathom in our mind what paradise is, but heaven, as Jesus told that thief on the cross, you're going to be with me today in paradise. Man, that eternal life's going to be good. It's going to be out of this world. But listen to what Jesus said in the Gospel of John 17:1. The high priestly prayer. You know, in this series that I've been doing at Boiling Springs, I've titled it Nothing But Grace. And I've been speaking on it for about 10, 11, 12 weeks. Nothing But Grace. I've used this verse a dozen times over a dozen weeks. But it didn't hit me till this week what Jesus says. In John 17:1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast, here we go again, Jesus' own words, as thou hast given him power over flesh, that he should what? Give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. You know, that's just sovereign grace in a nutshell right there. All that God gave Jesus Christ in the covenant relationship, they were in Christ, Jesus died for them. But then this next verse, and this is life eternal. here's the definition of eternal life. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You know what? I'm glad we get to know him here. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven. Our eternal life is what? To know God and to know Jesus Christ. It's for right here and right now. I have glorified thee, Jesus says to his Father. I finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Christ didn't say anything here about the here and after and forever and ever. He's talking about right here, right now, in that of a relationship and experience while we live. And this is life eternal. Let's live it now. I want to live now. Knowing God through Christ, through relationships, through experience. And another definition that I've seen of that knowing is sharing life together. Jesus says, share your life together. Now, we go through the rest of that discourse. In that high priestly prayer, and he's telling us how we share our life together with the Lord. One step right after another. The here and now. And I told the folks at church this morning, you know, there's a phrase that people like to use, in real time. We can enjoy eternal life in real time. And this is life eternal. That we might know God and know Jesus Christ in experimental, in a loving relationship right here and right now. Why? Because we've got hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie. But we don't have to wait to then. You know, we can enjoy eternal life here today. And then, you know, the Apostle Paul talks about the will of God in Romans 12 and 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Why? That we might know what the will of God is in our life. That's that relationship experience that we have in knowing Christ. And I said this this morning, but aren't you glad we didn't have to get up this morning and slay some sheep and some goats and a heifer and bring and sprinkle blood, give it to the priest, and or get out here and capture some turtle doves or something? We didn't have to. We just present our bodies. A life sacrifice. Why? Because there's already been one dead sacrifice, but he's risen again. His tomb is empty. And that's why that for us to know what life eternal is to know God and to know Jesus Christ in real time. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer. Amen.